I'm going to hold the choir to that verse this morning. He walks and talks with me. It sounds nice, it rhymes, right? But is it real? He walks and talks with me. Friends, we're in the book of Acts, and he walks and talks with people in the book of Acts, amen? Does he walk and talk with you? Those are the things that only you can do if the Spirit of God precedes it, orchestrates it, does it through you. I think there is. I think there is. That's what we're talking about this morning. So if you would, I want to invite you to open up to Acts chapter 10. We're in a fun one this morning. We're going to start right at verse 1. I'm going to read through 16. I'm going to read through 16 because I don't want to read all the way through 48. We'll work through it as the morning goes on. But 16 will set the stage for us, okay? Are you ready? Here we go. We're going to put it up on the screen. It's also page 894 of your pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along there. It begins, chapter 10, verse 1. In Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of the Italian cohort, as it was called. He was a devout man who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed constantly to God. One afternoon at about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he clearly saw an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." He stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" He answered, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa for a certain Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside." When the angel who spoke to him had left, he called two of his slaves and a devout soldier from the ranks of those who served him. And after telling them everything, he sent them to Joppa. Verse 9. About noon the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heaven opened and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. Then he heard a voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." The voice said to him again, a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened 3 times, and the thing was suddenly taken up to heaven. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would use the power of your word to shape us, to beckon us, to call us, to help us be receptive to your voice, to the whisper of your spirit. We ask you to come, Spirit. Help us to know the love of our Father. Help us to glorify the name of Jesus. It's in his name we pray it. Amen. I remember being at a large denominational meeting years ago, and it was filled with pastors, ministry leaders, and missions leaders. And there was a conversation being held about the importance of training ministry leaders in understanding the power and leading of the Holy Spirit for today. In case you didn't know, this is an interesting conversation in a room full of Presbyterians. And it was that day, and there was some back and forth and talking here and there. And finally, one guy stood up and he said, "I think this is just so important for our missionaries and people overseas today." And then there was an older gentleman that was at the back who stood up and made his way to the microphone. This individual was Dr. Greg Livingstone. He was the founder of Frontiers Missions. Now, has anybody ever heard of Frontiers? For those of you who don't know what Frontiers is, they're kind of like the utmost missions to the Muslim world. I mean, these folks have figured out ways to get into places that you and I could not dream of how to get into. And they are just deeply committed to that work. And here comes the founder up to the microphone. And Dr. Livingstone looks at the room and says, "Why is it that every time we talk about the Holy Spirit, he's for the missionaries, but he's never for the church?" Why is it that every time we talk about the Holy Spirit, he's for the missionaries, but he's never for the church? I've never forgotten that. And of course, you know, the whole room just goes, "Ooh." Now, just like we did. It was just louder. And there we go. Well done, well done. You know, I don't think that the initial comment was meant to pick a fight. That was not what the point. I think it was actually a word of encouragement. But Dr. Livingstone wanted to challenge this entire room of ministry leaders and say, if you think that there's some kind of dynamic ministry that can happen on the mission field only if the Holy Spirit gets involved, then why wouldn't you want the same kind of dynamic ministry in your church, in your neighborhood, and in your life? Wouldn't you want the kind of things to happen that only the Spirit of God can do? Well, I think that's a marvelous question, St. Giles. What do you think? I know it's Labor Day, but we're not taking Sunday off. Okay? We want God to move this morning. And we're going to look at one of those amazing moments in Scripture where the Spirit moved and something amazing happened. World-changing actually happened. And as we do that, I think what we're going to see is there's kind of, as I looked at it, I could kind of see three phases happening here that God leads Peter through. And I think if you're an individual who's interested in seeing what the Spirit of God can do through you, these would be three phases that we could replicate ourselves. And they are, first, God reveals his heart to us. Then God prepares our heart. And then thirdly, God invites us to follow. So God reveals his heart, God prepares our heart, and then God invites us to follow. When we look at this moment, it begins with Cornelius receiving this invitation from the angel of the Lord. You know, we've said this in the past, that when an angel gets involved, something big is about to happen, right? It's just not common enough. But in this instance, I think there's a practical and theological reason the angel's also getting involved. And it's a testimony unto itself. Because at this point, who does Cornelius not have dwelling within him? The Holy Spirit. We're seeing this, aren't we? Right? Because at this point, he's still a Gentile God-fearer, right? Has not heard the good news of salvation, and most definitely has not receive Christ as Lord and Savior in this instance. And so, and I say this, it's maybe it's a throwaway point, maybe it's not, but I'd make the point to just say that first, Scripture's testimony here is that without the Spirit, it's really hard to understand the will and desire of God. There's something amazing about saying we have the Spirit of God that resides within us. But then to go along with that, and the kind of things that the Spirit reveals are the kind of things that angels speak about. Just think about that. It's enough to just make you go, whoa. The weightiness of what God can whisper to us through his Spirit, it's enormous. It's enormous. So what does God do with Peter here? Well, Peter goes up to the rooftop to pray. So let's just stop right there. What's the context that all of this is going to happen in? It's prayer. It's prayer. This is where we kind of have to put a big dividing line in the sermon and just say, from this point forward, none of this applies if we're not willing to be committed to the work of prayer in our lives, if we're not willing to spend time with the Lord listening and talking. He walks and talks with me. I cannot tell it all. The context for everything that happens now is prayer. So Peter goes to pray. He's hungry. They do say that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. It's biblical, apparently, because God's going to use it. Peter has this wonderful dream. And the first thing God's going to do right here is he's going to reveal his heart to Peter. That's our first piece. He's going to reveal his heart to Peter. He does this with us too, doesn't he? He reveals his heart to us from time to time. Oh God, he suddenly puts something or someone right in front of you. You weren't really looking for it, but there it is. There they are. Sometimes it's an individual. He gives you this nudge and you see this person's situation and you go, oh. Or for our students, you guys are going back to school. Sometimes he puts this person in front of you and you realize this is that person that nobody seems to notice. But now you notice them and you see them and you go, oh, wow. Or perhaps it's even bigger, like a demographic of people, right? Like up to this point, you'd never really thought a lot about women in crisis pregnancy situations. But now it just seems like it floods your heart. You have this desire and you see this burden for these women to be ministered to. It drives you. It's like the blinders have been taken off your eyes and you once again, you suddenly see them. Or suddenly God gives you a burden for a nation, right? A whole people. Like you just find yourself praying for these people over and over again. Your heart breaks for these people over and over again. Walter Varvel wouldn't know anything about this, right? For what it's worth, Walter and Keith this week are going to Kazakhstan on the 8th. Friends, we need to be praying for them, interceding for them. God's got work to do. This is a new season of ministry, and we want them to see what the Spirit is showing them while they're there. We're asking for open doors, so let's be praying for them while they're there. But essentially what we're talking about here is God reveals his heart to us. He wants you to see with his eyes. Has anybody ever had an experience like that before where all of a sudden it's just like your eyes are open? You notice somebody that you just typically wouldn't notice. Anybody ever had one of those moments? Yeah, a few of us? Well, this is what's happening with Peter right now in Scripture. Verse 11, he says, he, Peter, saw the heaven opened and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. Then he heard a voice saying, get up, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is profane or unclean. Well, the voice of God said to him again a second time, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. Who's God revealing his heart for towards Peter? The Gentiles. Yeah, I can hear. Yeah, you guys are saying it. The Gentiles. He's revealing his heart for the Gentiles. And if we've read our Old Testaments, we know this has been something that's kind of been stirring for quite a while. God's heart for the nations has been pretty pronounced throughout history. Like, go all the way back to Abraham, right? As a matter of fact, if you like doing the marinate questions, I put a little section, a little study in there. It's just a bunch of verses on God's heart for the nations, just so you can look at that. And there's more if you want to dig deep and just really dig and just say, gosh, is this something that God really wants? It is something God really wants. His heart is for the nations. So God's heart longs for the nations. He reveals his heart to Peter. But does that mean that Peter's just going to go along with God's heart because he's revealed it to him? Of course not. Just because God says, I want you to see this, does that mean you're on board with it? What did Jonah say? No. It took an aquatic incarceration to get Jonah on board with God's heart. But we know this ourselves, don't we? Just because God puts something in front of you and says, this is important to me, do we also say, well, it's also important to me, God? We don't, do we? And we do it for a variety of reasons. As we see, Peter's going to do this as well. We get a taste of the heart of God, and our first response actually sometimes can be something like fear. Right? Oh, I don't know. That intimidates me. Or inadequacy. I don't know if I could do that. Or sometimes we're working, God calls us to work through our own prejudices, just like he does with Jonah and like he does with Peter. Sometimes our response is, I'm way too busy for this. Or I'm too young to make an impact. Or I'm too old to make an impact. We get this barrage of responses when God says, I want you to see this. You call it spiritual warfare. You can just call it being human. But I say all that to say, when God reveals his heart, don't be surprised if our own brokenness or inabilities start creeping in immediately. But here's the thing that he does is when God reveals his heart, he prepares our hearts to engage it as well. I know you know this, and I can't imagine this for Peter in this situation because, you know, it's more than just a food thing for Peter. There's this enormous social stigma of just walking into the house of a Gentile, right? There's this division that exists there that's existed for thousands of years. And God's saying, I'm making it clean, Peter. Imagine the work that's having to happen in Peter's heart just to say this. But verse 16 tells us that this message was repeated three times before God relented. God's working on Peter's heart here. Peter, I want you to see this. Peter, I'm doing a new work. Peter, this is what I want. Sometimes he does the same with us, doesn't he? He invites us into the very places he plans to transform us. Anyone ever had that happen before? Yeah. All of a sudden you find yourself right in the middle of something where you would say, I struggle with this. And the Lord's like, bingo, got you right where I want you. When God calls us into kingdom work, even if it's little kingdom work, even if it's just noticing one person, I don't know about you all, but I always find there's an ounce of dying to self that's going to have to happen. Because it's kingdom work. It glorifies Jesus. And so by the time God's done with Peter, Peter's got the message. And that's when God does this last part. He reveals his heart to us. He prepares our hearts. And then he invites us to follow him. And says, all right, now this is what I want you to do. Verse 17, which we didn't read, says, now while Peter was greatly puzzled about what to make of the vision that he had seen, and I think that's so honest. If we were to see a vision, we'd be like, whoa, what was that all about? Suddenly, the men sent by Cornelius appeared. They were asking for Simon's house and were standing by the gate. Verse 18, they called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, look, three men are searching for you. Now get up, go down, and go with them without hesitation, for I've sent them. From here, Peter gets up, goes and meets these guys. They tell him all about Cornelius and the vision. At this point, you know, Peter's having one of those aha moments. I would be certain of it, like, okay, this is making perfect sense. Peter goes with these individuals back to the house of Cornelius, and God is preparing for this incredible moment in history. I mean, this is a big moment. God does big things. Peter gets there, preaches the good news of salvation in Christ. Then verse 44 says this, while Peter was still speaking, really makes it hard to teach your children not to interrupt when others are talking when the Holy Spirit interrupts himself. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded. I just marked that word, astounded, that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So we ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And what happens here? For the first time in history, the line between Jews and Gentiles shattered. It's gone. The gospel just breaks into the world. It's amazing what what the Spirit does. He represents the heart of Christ, doesn't he? Do you want to do the kind of things that only the Spirit of God can lead us to? Whew. Those are big things. Friends, I don't know about you, but maybe I'm just preaching to myself this Labor Day weekend because I need these kind of sermons. I need to know that God is capable of doing so much more than I am. I'm going to be honest. You know, we sing, "Is He Worthy?" And that first line gets me every time. Do you feel the world is broken? And what do we say? We do. And every time we sing that line, I get images that go through my head. Images like, do we struggle with recognizing the life of unborn children in our country? Do you feel the world's broken? We do. I mourn for that. Do we see? I'll go back to those women in crisis pregnancy situations and the travesty that they're walking through. Do you see it? Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do we see how our culture is so just enamored with identifying people through sexuality in a way that will never satisfy our hearts and minds? But we want to do it from adults down to kids. Do you feel the world is broken? We do. We feel it. We feel it when racial tensions are hard and we don't know what to do about it. And we're trying, but it hurts. We feel it when violence breaks out and we look at our news feed and it's like, how could that have happened again? We feel it when addictions sweep through our community and through our families. Do you feel the world is broken? Gosh, we really do feel it. We really do feel it. I could just hold us here all Labor Day weekend with "Do you feel the world is broken?" and just walk through one instance after the next. We're not even looking at the globe today. The reality is, I don't know about you, St. Giles, but I need to hear this morning. That God is capable of doing things that I cannot even imagine. Because I see a lot of unimaginable things. We do. We see the world is broken. I need to know that the dark can't stop the light from getting through. I need to know that. Because otherwise, we get stuck in fear and worry. Is this all there is, Lord? Is it just going to keep being bad? But more than that, is if we feel the world is broken, how much more does our Father in heaven feel that the world is broken? Amen? And this is how much I think he feels it's broken, that he sends his Son to break the power of sin and darkness, and that he sends his Holy Spirit to guide his church and his people into the world to advance his kingdom into that brokenness and into that darkness. And he says, I'm going to give you everything you need. I'm going to open doors that you could never open on your own. Don't get hopeless, church. I've got this, but you're going to have to follow me. Friends, is there brokenness in your own family right now that you're wondering, gosh, can we get through this? I've got good news for you this morning. You can. And he will. Will you follow him? Well, when you look at your neighborhood and you wonder, I don't even know what to do with this. Let me ask you once again, what is the context that all this happens in? Prayer. Prayer. Lord, I don't know what to do. So I offer this to you. I'll be the prayer warrior until you open the door for something else. Brothers and sisters, I want you to imagine how astounding, I just like that word, they were astounded. How astounding it really was when all of a sudden they realized, oh my gosh, this is happening right now. The Spirit's falling on Gentiles. How are we ever going to tell this to the Council of Jerusalem? That's further on in the series on Acts, by the way. Because it's happening. It's happening. Imagine with me all the things that the Spirit of God still wants to do. Here, now, today. If we're willing to receive the invitation to follow Him. And I think the invitation of Scripture to each of us this morning is to long to be astounded. Long for it. By the kind of things that the Spirit of God can only do and guide us towards. And to be people of prayer who long to receive those invitations. I bet even as I say that, you go, oh, but I'm not a person of prayer. I'm too young for this. I'm too old for this. Oh, but what if this happens? What if it doesn't happen? He's going to prepare you, I promise. He'll prepare you. And then He'll give you the invitation. Friends, it's got to be us. If it's not the Church of Jesus Christ, then who's it going to be? We're it. We're as once again we said, we're the kingdom of priests that God has called to reign with His Son. We're here. If you can't tell, I get really excited about all the things God can do and will do through His people. Are we willing to be those who listen? Oh yeah, I want to be. Let me pray for us. Let me pray for us this morning. Jesus, we declare that You are at the center of all of this. That is our declaration this morning. We believe that the Spirit of God guides us to the desires of Your heart. But we also got to declare that, Lord, it is hard. It's scary. And we feel woefully inadequate in so many ways to follow the guidance of the Spirit. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray Your anointing over this body to be those who listen and those who hear afresh. Holy Spirit, would we be a body who can hear Your voice? Lord Jesus, I ask that You would unstop our ears, that the voices of busyness, that the voices of fear, that the voices of inadequacy would be washed away in the powerful name of Jesus. Lord, just as the fall arrives and it feels like we get this fresh wind of life for the church, Lord Jesus, I pray for those going back to school. I pray for those who are engaging in new seasons of work. I pray for those who just have these rhythms of life in retirement, that they would get a fresh wind of hearing Your voice. Spirit, we want to follow You. We go back to Dr. Livingstone's words and we say, we want to be the people who see the things that only You can do, Holy Spirit. And we say this because we believe it brings glory to the name of Jesus. And because, Lord, we see that the world is broken, but our eyes are on You. So help us to follow You. It's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray this. Amen.